Grace and peace to you this morning from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The story is told of an old Scotsman who operated his little rowboat to transport passengers across the water. And one day a passenger got in and he noticed something that seemed a little odd to him. Because the old man apparently had carved the word faith on one of the oars. But on the other oar, he had carved another word, works. And curiosity led the passenger to ask the Scotsman about this. And the Scotsman was a Christian, and he was thankful for the opportunity to share something. And he says, well, I'll show you. So he dropped one oar into the boat, and he just used the oar called works. And the boat just went around in circles. Some of you may have done this. And he dropped that oar into the boat, and he used the other oar called faith. And the little boat went around in circles again, the other way, but still in a circle. And after this demonstration, the old man picked up faith and works and began rowing with both oars together. And the little boat took off and sped swiftly over the water. And the Scotsman explained to his passenger, you see, that's how it works in the Christian life. Dead works without faith are useless, and faith without works is dead also, getting you nowhere. But if you put faith and works together, you have progress and blessings in your life. Our text today clearly proclaims that faith should result in Christian action. It says, so also, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. If this statement makes you feel uncomfortable, you probably have lots of company. Luther himself was uncomfortable with it at times. And this seems to be a difficult teaching for many Christians to understand. Many of us grew up being warned, and for good reason, not to trust in our good works for salvation. And hopefully we have heard over and over that good works do not save us, and that we should not be trusting in them for our salvation. This is a very important teaching, and Titus chapter 3 is one of the passages that clearly backs it up when it says, quote, he saved us not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through our Savior, Jesus Christ. So the theologians who have warned us to beware of works righteousness are on solid ground. But hold on. There is another danger here. And it seems very likely that the end result of this with some people is that they have forgotten that faith does have an action component to it. A proper faith prompts us to be involved in doing our part in Christ's church, not to get into heaven, but in response to what God has done for us. And this has strong biblical support also, and from Jesus himself. In Luke 6, he asks, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things I say?" And we read this morning, Jesus saying, "Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." And I think even more memorable, at least to me, was the time our Lord Jesus was in Bethany. It was early in the morning and he was hungry. And he saw a fig tree by the road. And he went up to this fig tree to get something to eat. But the fig tree had nothing on it except leaves. And Jesus said to it, "May you never bear fruit again." This really got the disciples' attention because the fig tree soon withered and died. It was meant as a lesson for them, and it is a lesson for us. That's why it's been preserved. A fig tree is expected to have fruit. Otherwise, there is no reason for its existence, and it's certainly not a fig tree. A Christian is expected to have fruit in his life also. So I have no problem with the statement, "Faith without works is dead." There may be some exceptions to the general rule. When people read things in the Bible, they're often trying to find one exception for them, but God in His wisdom and mercy surely knows what exceptions, if any, there are. In general, our faith should result in good works to bring glory to the God who has saved us. And while service in the congregation has merit and is a fine thing, after all, it is the church of Jesus Christ, we should also understand that our good works are not just limited to things that we do in the church or in church organizations. For God brings people into our lives outside the church, doesn't He? And we make decisions on whether we are going to help them or not. There are charities outside the church which are undoubtedly deserving of support. There are causes outside the church that are undoubtedly worthy of support. But once a year, here at St. Mark, we believe it's fitting that we examine our responses to God, not each other's responses. Examine our responses to God's love as far as stewardship of our time, talents, and treasures is concerned. As I teach our Life with God class, we are caretakers as far as God is concerned. We're to be good stewards of the time, talents, and treasure that God has given to us. And one of my pastors taught me long ago, we don't really give to God. We return part of what God has given to us in those areas of time, talents, and treasure. Last week, Pastor Mark stressed one of the best uses of our time, that of pouring our efforts into the lives of other people, taking time for other people by helping them, by molding them, by perhaps mentoring some in areas where they need support. And he asked us to remember some of the people in our lives who have helped us get to where we are in life today. That was a very significant exercise that we did. See, God often works through human relationships to help or to transform the lives of others. And we don't want to miss those opportunities. They may come outside the church, and they are something special. And they're not the sort of things you can write down on your commitment sheet because you never know when they're going to come up. But today, we ask you to examine what gifts and abilities God has given you. And there are some special gifts and talents mentioned in the Bible, and they are important in the church, special talents that God gives His people. But they are not exclusive lists. And if you can walk, talk, and see, you have been gifted. Let nobody hear you saying there is nothing you can do unless you're flat on your back and can hardly move. And I have to tell you, in my life right now, I know two people dying flat on their back that can hardly move, and they're still bringing testimony to our Lord Jesus Christ. So let's not eliminate anybody. We have included a list of service opportunities. This is for you to read at home, not while I'm preaching the rest of the message. It's on the white sheet I ask you to take out. It's on both sides. If there's nothing you're doing at present and you're looking forward to next year and want to serve the Lord, this may stimulate you with some ideas. Please review that list. And if you're presently serving the Lord in some way, write that down. You are very important. Check the box at the top and write that down. Please include your name and phone number on it. And we ask that you return this in one of our services next Sunday. The second section of the commitment form, and I'm talking about the yellow sheet now, is for anyone who's interested in possibly doing a new ministry this year. And this is especially good for new members. That is, or those who have transferred into St. Mark during the last 12 months. Some of our people are already involved in a ministry. That is heartening, and God bless them. But if you are not, that's okay. We just ask you to carefully review the list of service opportunities on the white sheet. But you might also pay particular attention, look at the back page of your service folder and at the top, pay particular attention to important needs at St. Mark that we have listed in the service folders today. And Pastor Mark, I wonder if this time if you could help me by reading these for our people.
Important needs at St. Mark include the following: Sunday school teachers, people to serve on the board of stewardship, altar guild, helpers for our new youth ministry, serving meals downtown, telephoning at miscellaneous times, church sign, Tuesday prayer ministry, church choir, active member of Women's League, Stephen ministers, especially to serve as leader after training, nursery at 9:45 or 11 o'clock once every 2 months, cleaning a room or area at the church, visit elderly, sick, or in need, and coffee hour ministry.
Thank you, Pastor. And if you can serve in any of these areas, it would be an additional blessing to our St. Mark family and our service here in our mission statement. You want to make sure again, especially newer people, that you sign your name and put your phone number at the top. Bring it with you next Sunday, and if you don't plan to be here next Sunday, if you're going to be out of town or something, you can either turn it in today or mail it to the church office. be can given to a pastor or can be put face down on the secretary's desk. Nobody should turn those face up except for our secretary, who's also our financial secretary. The sheet actually needs to be torn in two before it's turned in. If you remember St. Mark, you know this, if you've been here for a while. The lower half is not to be signed. It's between you and the Lord. It is your financial commitment, and I right here prefer to use the word goal. It's your financial goal for the year. And I think it's very important that you send one. If your circumstances change, the Lord knows that. And you're going to be fine. But we give more when we set a goal. And to help you, I want to share with you to keep in mind that proportionate giving is taught in both the Old and New Testaments. Proverbs 3:9 says, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. The two important words here are honor and first fruits. First fruits were the best and choicest. And of course, many people in the Old Testament didn't have coins to give. They gave of their crops. There are animals sometimes. And the Lord didn't want the crippled or the dying animals. He wanted the choices. That should be a lesson to us. God isn't pleased with our leftovers. And the New Testament also speaks, and I say this to help you. I have a responsibility. It also speaks to proportionate giving. 1 Corinthians 16 says, on the first day of the week, each of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with his income. And this can also be done on the first day of the month. It's the same idea. You put aside for God first. You put God first in your spending. And you see, when you put God first, He is in a position to bless the rest of what you have and what you spend. Now, what's the alternative to this? Well, the alternative is you go along and you decide what you're going to spend and how you're going to spend it. And you get to the end of the week or the end of the month, and if there's anything left, you give it to the Lord. It's dependent on how much money you spent. I've done it both ways. And I assure you, the first way works. Putting God first. You can't outgive God. Pastor Mark said not long ago, he encouraged us to put God to the test. That's what it says in the Old Testament. It's a matter of trusting Him or trusting in yourself. And when you follow the advice the Bible gives you, you can expect to be blessed. And I would want to testify to that also. So let's wind it all up this morning by asking ourselves a question. And I will be asking myself this question and reflecting on my giving before I fill out my form for next week. The question is, do I have two oars in the water? Are both faith and works a part of my spiritual life? When we talk about faith here, we're talking about saving faith. And if we accept what the Bible says about saving faith, it is a gift of God. But it comes to us through God's Word. And it is maintained and grows through hearing God's Word and partaking of the Holy Sacrament. We need to take that seriously. And then if we do take that seriously, we also must take seriously doing works for the Lord. bringing glory to His name by the things that we do. And if we have both of those oars in the water around our life, we can expect to be moving forward and to be blessed. To God be the glory. May He receive and bless what you return to Him. Amen.